Now, grace and peace to you from God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel reading reminds me of a phrase that one of my seminary professors used to repeat and drummed into us as would-be pastors. Dr. Rognes would often remind us that if you want to be a great preacher of the Word of God, you do well to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. In essence, that is what pastors and preachers are supposed to be about. To comfort those who are feeling afflicted and to afflict, to agitate, to challenge, and even to push at those who are comfortable. Well, the words of Jesus in our gospel reading for this morning certainly qualify as words that comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. Jesus' words and Jesus' teaching this morning in our gospel reading was addressed to various people, various ethnicities, and people of various backgrounds as they gathered around him to listen to him. He presented the objective facts about his kingdom, and what he taught was definitely that. Comforting the afflicted and afflicted the comfortable among the crowd. Now, here's to provide a little bit of background or context to the episode that we're having this morning. In the verse just before our text from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been up on the mountain praying all by himself all night long. His disciples were with him, but he went stepped away from them and prayed to his Father all night long. And when the sun came up, he called together the 12 and his followers, and they began to descend down to the bottom of the mountain. And then he comes down to a level place, Luke tells us, to a level place. And starts to teach. And he starts teaching before breakfast even. And people are gathering from all over the place to come and hear him. Luke writes, all in the crowds were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Now, notice that Jesus doesn't try to get away from the crowd by getting into a boat this time, as we seen last Sunday. This time, Jesus is right in their midst, right in the middle of the crowd, and he's sending out healing powers to everyone within reach. And Jesus doesn't seem to care at all who all is in the crowd, Jews and Gentiles, people from inside Israel and outside of the country. He heals all of them while standing on a level ground with them. Now let's look deeper at his teachings. In a nutshell, and these Jesus' teachings is, we know it, most of us know it as part of the Beatitudes as in the Gospel of Matthew. And in a nutshell, what Jesus is basically saying is that we are blessed when we are God-centered, when our lives are God-centered, regardless of our earthly circumstances and status. We are blessed when God is at the center of our lives. And we find woes whenever and wherever we are self-centered. When we become the God in the center of our lives. When Jesus blesses the poor and hungry, those who are grieving and those who are sorrowful and the ones who've been ridiculed. He's not saying that we should all aspire to be poor. He's not saying that we should all aspire to be hungry or to grieve or to be in sorrow or to be verbally abused. No, that is not what Jesus is saying. He's saying that God is present with us even when the world has abandoned us. God loves us even when everyone else hates us. That's what Jesus is getting at. That's what he's teaching the gathered crowds. See, he's saying we find blessings in seeking God, in being hungry for God, and in loving the people that God loves. That's the source of our blessings. And when Jesus announces woe to those who are rich and eat well and enjoy fame and popularity and admirations from other people, he is not saying that wealth or that good food and popularity are bad things. No. He's saying that when we focus on satisfying our appetites, then we have turned our attentions away from God, and our self-centeredness will be our spiritual doom. Now, just a word of caution here. You probably all figured this out already. But the truth is that Christianity is for those who's willing to be vulnerable. Now, vulnerable does not necessarily mean being weak. It just means someone who's seeking and desiring to be humble and to be someone who will feel the pain and the sorrow that God feels for people who are hurting. That's at risk of being a Christian. That we will feel the pain, the suffering, the grief, the sorrow that God feels when any of his children hurt. When we seek God, we'll be compelled to stand up to injustice. When we seek God, we'll affirm that every human being is worthy of God's love in God's sight. Yes, when we are hungry for God, we want the things that God wants, which is for every person on earth to know him and to love him. Or as we state in our vision statement here at Our Savior's Lutheran Church, we desire for all people to experience God. Now, just to be clear, Jesus isn't commanding you to work at becoming poor so that you can receive his blessings. That's nonsense. Jesus is stating how things are to be in his kingdom. And his kingdom is wherever he reigns. And that brings us to verse 20 in our gospel reading today. Luke tells us, Jesus looked up at his disciples. He looked at them straight in the eyes as he stood among them on a level plain. And this morning, Jesus stands looking at us, at each of us in the eyes. In other words, as Jesus looks at us, God sees us. God sees you. And God knows you. And most importantly, God loves you. See, God sees you whether you are poor or rich. Jesus isn't encouraging you to get rich, nor to become poor. I often cringe at some of these churches that are pushing the so-called prosperity gospel, that if you are not getting wealthy, it must mean God doesn't love you. That is a false and a fake gospel. And anyone who preaches such message does not know God. See, Jesus isn't encouraging anyone to be rich or to be poor. Jesus, however, is inviting you to put everything at his disposal and follow him. As I've said in recent weeks, Jesus is encouraging us to be his followers, not simply to be his fans. You see, God sees you, and he knows you, the real you, not the good face you that you put on so that other thinks you're okay. No, God knows you through and through. God sees you, and he stands with you on the level place, on the same plane as you are in Jesus Christ. When it is hard to see, when things are going south for you, when you are experiencing the kind of suffering and hardship that happens in this life, know that Jesus is standing there with you, sending healing powers in your life. God sees you and wants to bless you. That is for sure. And it does not matter whether you're rich or poor or in between. God simply desires to bless you. There isn't anything you can do to change that. That's God's nature. He wants to bless his people, his children. You can't change that. There's nothing you do that can make God love you less. He could do all kinds of crazy shenanigans in life, and God's love for you will not be any less. And there's also nothing that you can do to make God love you more than he already does now in Jesus Christ. See, God won't give up on us. God's blessing is for us wherever we are, wherever we come from, whatever our circumstances in this life may be. God's love is for us, and God's blessing is issued for us. Whether you've been a Christian all your life, or you've just recently found and accepted Jesus in your heart, God pronounces his love for you through what Christ has done on the cross. And God desires to do nothing more than to bless you. You see, to be blessed does not mean the absence of struggle. We as Christians ought to know this. This is a fact for us, that just because we are blessed, just because we are children of God, does not mean that we're exempted from suffering and pain in this life. To be blessed at times can invite hatred toward us. And in recent years, we know this is to be true with all those who seek to destroy us as Americans, as people of faith. To be blessed at times can invite hatred, exclusion, being reviled, and being defamed. It's all part of the territory of being followers of Jesus. To be blessed is to live through such opposition, aware that the struggle is temporary, and that the reward is great in heaven. You know, through Luke's gospel, the emphasis of his gospel is that God is with us, the Emmanuel. Jesus stands on a level plane or level ground with us, showing us God's kingdom in the middle of our chaos, in the middle of our need for healing. Now, the only question for us is whether we will reject such amazing grace or be willing to stand in that level place with Jesus, receive his blessings, and go out and bring that blessing to others. That is what God's people do. That is what God instructs and commands and, yes, expects of his people, to be blessed for blessings, to receive his blessings so that we may share that blessings to others, to those around us, regardless of where they come from, regardless of their ethnicities, regardless of their backgrounds. So this week, my challenge to you is to go ahead, live in the world. Yes, you'll be confronted, you'll be defamed, you will be isolated, you'll be excluded, you will be challenged. And that's all part of being God's people. But in the midst of all that, know that you are blessed, that Jesus seeks to bless you in ways that you can fathom. But then don't hoard that blessing. Don't be a sponge, simply sucking up the blessings and refusing to let it go, unless you're squeezed, of course. You are blessed. And in your blessings, go tell those around you of God's love for them. And since tomorrow is Valentine's Day, show. Don't just say it. Show and reveal God's love to all people, no matter where they're from or what they do, what they've done. Show and reveal God's love by your actions. Now, I know it may be a cliche, and it is a cliche, but remember this, God loves you. And the truth is, so do I. Amen.